Okay, so we're in Daf Chav Tet tonight. I'll begin two lines from the bottom on Chav Tet Amud Beis. Okay, page 56, two lines from the bottom. This is Tana d'Avraham Yahu. I thought I would do from Tana d'Avraham Yahu since such a famous line, we say it all the time. So Tana d'Avraham Yahu means the Brice was taught either in the Beis Medrash of a Chacham, whose name was Eliyahu, or a different Masorah is that Eliyahu HaNavi taught different Torahs to Rabbanan, which the Gemara Masechet Ketubot says, and this would be one of them. Kol Shanei HaLachot, whoever teaches halachot, he's assured that he's a member of the world to come. So we always say, we teach it every day, or teach or learn. If you learn, till the Shona can be learned. He says, like the Pshuta of Shomek is, the ways of the world are his, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Drasha is, halachot olam lo. If a person studies the halachot, so he has the world to come. That's the drasha. Okay, we're on the bottom line on Chav Tet Amud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're the top line on Chav Tet Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, the Vatlin Talmud Torah Lahotzad Amid Lachnas Hakala, that a person should be Vatel Torah. In other words, even I'm studying Gemara, I close the Gemara to go Lahotzad Amid. Hotzad Amid is to escort him to the Beit HaKvaro. And for Achnas HaKala to escort her to the chuppah. He says, Amru Lav Rabbi Huda Rabbi Lai. They said concerning Rabbi Huda Rabbi Lai, and Rabbi Huda Rabbi Lai, the Arsul said that's the famous town of Rabbi Huda, is Rabbi Huda Rabbi Lai, Shayamavatel Tamator Lahotara Meidel Achnas HaKala, that he, Badafka, would do that. And one shot, I heard this from Rabbi Leibowitz, he was saying that Morris says in Masech Sanhedrin, that Rabbi Huda Rabbi Lai, he would teach Torah with like Talmidim under like one talis. In other words, like they had a lot of, you know, mysterious nefesh to teach Torah. But notwithstanding that, when it came to, you know, he would mevatel it if it was for a hotzad amid or a hatasav kala. Now the Gemara says, but when do I have mitzvah to drop everything and go to the funeral? He says, b'she'ein sham kol tzarf. And normally it means like this. Normally we say that if it's a mitzvah that somebody else could do, I wouldn't be mevatel it. But here, when it's coming to these two mitzvot, even though there's a mitzvah, other people would be involved with it, I should still be mevatel and go to the Hotzad Amid, Hatasav Kala. So by Mamun Shein Sham Kol Tzarka, when there aren't enough people, let's say with Hotzad Amid. So Aval Yesham Kol Tzarka, I'm mevatel. If there are enough people, then I will not be mevatel. So how many people is that? Vekama Kol Tzarka. Amr Shumbor Inya Mishmei Derav, Tracer Alfei Gavre, Vishita Alfei Shipure. 12,000 men. And 6,000 people blowing a shofar, so it would be like 18,000 people, you know, coming there. Somebody's laughing at this end of here. Okay. Va'amri lam, and others say, Tracer alpe gavre, 12,000 men, ubina yoshita alpe shipure. Of the 12,000, 6,000 could blow the shofar out. Like, apparently they would do that at the funeral. So
much really better.
So it means, for all intents and purposes, that you always would have to, you got to go. But we'll see you in a minute. Now, Ula Amar, Ula has a different shot. Ula Amar, going to Chaitzi Gavre, Miabula Ad Sikra. An adequate number of people is the number of people to line up from the gates of the city to the cemetery. If you look at Rashi, the top line of Rashi, going to Chaitzi Gavre, Miabula the Sikra, Mechitaran Hashem Mishar Ha'ir Ad Beit HaKvarot. From the gates of the city to the Beit HaKvarot, Mekom Shesofim Otosham. He says, and then the next line of the Gemara, Rav Sheshet Amar, Tinatinata Kach Natilata. He says, like, the way the Torah was given, that's the way it's taken away. Ma Natinata B'Shishim Ribo, just like the Torah was given with 600,000 men, he says, Af Natinata B'Shishim Ribo. So too, when it's taken back, it sounds more like a Talmud Chacham who's dying, but in other words, that you would have to have Shishim Ribo. So the Gemara says, Hani Mila the Man Dekari Batani. That's if the person who died, he studied Pesukim and he studied Mishnayot. Avalaman Dematni. Now Dematni can mean either he was a teacher of Mishnayot or he learned Gemara. Late Shira. He has no Shir. So it's like, you know, Adla Shamayim. Okay, let's take a look. Let me pause for a second. Okay, now let me just a little piece with this and then we'll pause. Now, the main issue is that, you know, today it doesn't seem like people, you know, if I know about a funeral, it doesn't seem like everybody's dropping everything and going to the funeral. So Rabbi Leibowitz spoke about it in his year, but there's a piece here in the Aladaf. So according to the Gemara's qualifications of this ruling, if a person learned Torah Mishnayot, he's deserving of having 600,000 people accompany him to burial. for someone who taught Torah, there was no limit to the amount of people who were required to attend. I think when Ramosha passed away, I think they said like a third of Klal Yisrael or something like that participated between New York and Eretz Yisrael. All the people, could that be? It was some fantastic sum. So common custom, however, is that people are not particular about this requirement to accompany a body to burial, and this practice requires explanation. According to some opinions, the basis of this practice is the ruling by the Chalkas Machokek regarding the obligation to accompany a bride to the chuppah. The Chalkas Machokek writes that one is not obligated to accompany the bride unless one sees the procession. In other words, so that's the first yisod. So the Chalkas Machokek says, unless I see them accompanying the bride, I don't have to join them. So he says, but the mere knowledge that a wedding is taking place does not generate an obligation. And once he wants to make like a tzushtel between the wedding and a funeral. Similarly, one is not obligated to attend a funeral unless one sees the coffin, but the mere knowledge that a funeral is taking place does not generate an obligation. That would be the first yisod, or one way out of it. Because otherwise, you know, it was Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the Salmat Chaim, writes that there is basis to rely upon this position to avoid losing time from Torah study. Okay, now, the Beis Shmuel and the Shach disagree and maintain that one is obligated to attend even if one does not see the procession. So then we're in Gach the Tzuris. According to those opinions, I'm back to square one. Consequently, the question regarding the practice of not attending all the funerals returns. Rav Moshe Feinstein is reported to respond to this inquiry that the lenient custom is indeed difficult, and he does not have a clear answer. Thus, he tried to avoid acquiring information about funerals to relieve himself of the obligation to attend. So, like, that's what Rav Moshe. So, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggested the lenient practice could be justified by the fact that these events are not held on time, and one is not obligated to attend if the event is not going to take place at the given time. So, in other words, let's say the wedding, the chuppah is called for 6, but that doesn't mean the chuppah is going to take place at 6. So I'm not obligated to give up time where it's not for that mitzvah. And the same thing, Lepora would maybe take place with the funeral, although funeral homes tend to be, you know, kind of on the, you know, punklich, you know, with the time with that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts?
I have something to add. Today there was a funeral hespage for somebody from Great Neck Synagogue, Gazak Dicker, and a dear friend of mine who wanted to go to the hespage was obviously hesitating to go inside, but what she decided to do was to wait outside to be part of that procession that they talk about here, so that the family would see that she is part of the composition of those that were honoring him. So it was just a very beautiful application of that. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hear. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. So we're on Chaf Ted Amud Aleph. We're around 15 lines from the top. Okay. So we're up to Tanya Reb Shimon Yochai Omer. Okay, everybody with me? All right. So now the Gemara is going to link this up. We've been talking about the Kedusha of the Beit Knesset. So this is kind of the last of the sugyas with the Beit Knesset. So the Gemara has this next sugya and it relates to the Kedusha of the Beit Knesset. So Tanya, Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, Bo Rei Kamel Chaviv and Yisrael Lepnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. See how precious the Jewish people are before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shebechol Makom Shegalu Shechina Mahen. Wherever they went into Galus, in exile, the Shechina, God's presence, went with them. Galu the Mitzrayim, they went to exile to Egypt. Shechina Mahen. Shneimar, Haniglo Negleiti Levet Avicha V'yotam Mitzrayim Gomer. This pasuk, it says in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, that an Ish HaLokim, the pasuk doesn't identify who it was, came to Eli HaKohen. Eli HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, and he was the father of Chofni and Pinchas, and we've had that before in the Gemara. And Chofni and Pinchas, you know, were not such an erlich mention. Although, the Gemara says, please, everybody needs to mute themselves, and if you've unmuted yourself, you need to mute it. I'm going to help you. All right. So they were not, you know, performing up to standards. And this person comes to Eli HaKohen, and he says, you know, because of the actions of your sons, you know, so all the members of your household will die early. You know, you move to Anashim, they'll die in the middle of their life. So initially he says, Shnemar haniglo negleiti levet abicha b'tam Mitzrayim. In other words, did I not appear levet abicha to Aharon? In other words, you're a Kohen Gadol, you're a descendant of Aharon a Kohen. did I not appear to your forebear in Mitzrayim? So when the global of Bicha means the Shekhinah was in Mitzrayim. Then Galut Babel, they went to Galut into Babel, Shekhinah Mehem. The Shekhinah was there in Babel as well. Shinemar, Lamanachem, Shilachti Babela. So for you, it sounds like I sent you to Babel, but the way the Gemara seems to darsh on the Pasuk is if it would be written Lamanachem, Shulachti Babela. Well, it was like with the kubitz under the shin. There was the three dots, you know, so that I was sent, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was sent to Babel. And in the future, when the Jewish people will be redeemed, the Shekhinah will be with them. It says that Hashem will bring your Shvurcha, in other words, like the dispersed people, bring them back to Eretz Israel, the captivity. He'll bring the captivity back to Eretz Israel. Beheshiv lo nemar. In other words, I would expect the dictum to be Beheshiv. He'll bring it back. El b'shav. Shav means like he'll return. He says, "Well, amein shech shvarku shav men mi ben agaliyot." So now the Gemara connects us up to the shul, like we were saying. Now the Bach here adds on. Where's Bach? He says. B'Babel hecha sharya. Is where the Bach has it. B'Babel hecha sharya. And it was in Babel. Where is the Shekhinah to be found? So where does it dwell? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Beiknishta de Hotzel, u Beiknishta Shafiyati b'nei Hado'o. So he says, in the Beit Knesset in Hotzel, which was a town in Babel, and Beiknishta in the Shul, the Shafiyati, that was like destroyed and rebuilt, b'nei Hado'o. Now, on Shafiyati, there's different pshat in what this means, but Rashi has a pshat, third wide line from the top, Shafiyati. So it says, Rashi brings down that Yechaniah, who was one of the last kings of Yehuda, that when he went into Galut, and we studied this earlier in the Sefta, how he went to an earlier Galut, and that's where Mordechai went into that Galut with him as well. So Yechaniah took some stones from that, you know, I guess from Yerushalayim and dirt, and with that they formed the foundation of the Beit Knesset, so the Shafiyate. The only thing is Yechaniah left before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The now let's see back in the Gemara. So let's take a look. So he says, "V'lo teima hacha v'hacha." Don't say that the Shekhinah is in both places. "El zimin hacha v'zimin hacha." Sometimes it's in the Beit Knesset in the hotel. Sometimes the Beit Knesset, the Shafiyatev. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Tetile means I should get Sachar, the Chimarchichna Parsa, Ailina Umaslina Hatam. Even when I'm a distance of a Parsa from one of those shuls, it sounds like Shafiyatev, I make it my business to go to that shul. So a Parsa is like four, not like, it's 4 milin, and 4 milin would be a distance of like 72 minutes travel time. But I travel up to 72 minutes to daven in that shul, that Beit Knesset, the Shafiyatev, because there's a special significance there. He says, let's see back in the Gemara. Abu Shmuel Levi, Havu Yafi B'Knesset, the Shafiyatev, B'nei Hado'a. So the father of Shmuel and Levi were sitting in the shul of Shafiyatev, that was destroyed and rebuilt in Ner Hado'a. At Yishchinah, the Shekhinah came. Shamu kol riksha, they heard some sort of sound. Kamu v'nafku, they got up and left. Rav Sheshet Aviyati b'Beit Knishta Shafiyati b'Nei Hado'a. Rav Sheshet was sitting in the shul of Shafiyati b'Nei Hado'a. At Yishchin, the Shekhinah came. Lo nafak, he didn't leave. Atu malachei sharei b'kama v'atu lei. So the malachei sharei came and scared Rav Sheshet. In other words, they wanted him to leave. Amar l'fanav, so Rav Sheshet, and Rav Sheshet, remember, was blind. So Amar Lepanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Aluv V'Sheino Aluv. If one is like sort of, you know, unfortunate, one's an unfortunate person, one's not that way. And then the Bach is on, he says, Yachol V'Sheino Yachol. One person could easily leave, one person not so easily leave. Minucham Nimi, who has to give way for the other one? In other words, who's Derech Erez should be leaving? In other words, it's between me and the Malachi Asharei, who should be leaving? So he says, Amar Lahu, so the Ribbono Shel Olam said to the Malachi Asharei, Shavkuhu, let him stay. All right. That's what the question is. Why should he leave? No, in other words, What do you mean, why? In other words, it sounds like somebody's going to leave, either him or the Malach HaShari. So that's what he said. In other words, it means like you have a person, like it's difficult, let's say, for him to walk or something like that. And somebody's an able-bodied person. So who should get the seat or something like that? You give deference to they don't like to use that word anymore, but the person that's got difficulties. Say again, what?
Certain they say Kutzach as Bozorga, but the bigger person, let's go.
All right. So here is saying that the Malach HaShari. So the Rosh Hashanah says they're not gonna let him stay. All right. Now let's take a look back in the Gemara. So we're at the second line above work is very wide. The second line above work is very wide. The first one is Ba'ahi. So the Gemara quotes Pasuk in Yechezkel, Ba'ahi lem the Mikdash Ba'ah. In other words, Hashem is saying, even though I'm dispersing them to all these lands, I, the Ribono Shel Olam, will be for them a small sanctuary. In other words, they won't have a base of Mikdash, but I'll be a small sanctuary for them. So I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak, either but take note of it, same with Roshot Shabbat Ba'avel. So Rabbi Yitzchak says this refers to the shuls and the Batei Medrash in Babel. Reblazar Amar, it's a Beit Rabbeinu Shabbat Ba'avel. Reblazar says it's the house of Rabbeinu, and Rashi says Rabbeinu is Rav in Babel. Darish Rava, but the idea is that I remember that the piece of Shulchan Aruch has a piece like this, that by Hilam of Dash Ba'ad, that our shuls have a din like a din year and kavo, just like the base of Mikdash does. This is why Hilam and Mikdash Ma'ad. So Darish Rava, my dechiv Hashem ma'ona tahayitalanu. Now this pasuk we say every Shabbat morning. I think it's Hilal Moshe Yishalokim, right? Hashem. So it's Tehillim Perek Tzadi, and it says the ma'ona tahayitalanu. The door by door throughout the generations, you were ma'on, an abode for us. It refers to the shuls and the batei medrash. So Amar Abaye, may reish have a garishna beveta uaslina beveikinishta. Abaye said initially, I studied in my house. I studied, let's say, Gemara, whatever, in my house. Uaslina beveikinishta, I davened in the shul. Came the Shmait Lahadamar David, the Kamar David, Hashem Hafti Mon Beitecha, and here the Bach is on the words, and there's a mistake in the Bach with the Bach, it should be a Gimel. He says, Lo Havai Garisna Elabbe Kanishta, Hechad Maslina. So I only studied in the Shul where I daven. Now, the Rabbi Leibowitz has mentioned as a stira. See, the Gemara has mentioned Baracho, similar Gemara, but there the Gemara comes out that Abaye would daven in the house, the place that he was davening. And it was our Gemara says he would then learn in the shul and daven over there. But the Gemara Baruch, I think, says that he would learn and daven in the house, presumably, I assume, with the minion or whatever. So so he quoted the Turi Evan, says it's a stira between the two different Gemaras. And each one has a different shita as to where there's greater kedusha, the place you're learning or the Knesset. Or the other way is to try to say that somehow he was trying to learn in the shul. And in other words, the idea is, like we learned earlier in the sugya, that a base medrash is higher level kedusha than a Beit Knesset. That's the Yisrael. Base medrash is a higher level kedusha than a Beit Knesset. And I think I mentioned that the Mishnah Berurah says that if you have a choice, let's say I could daven in the base medrash with 10 people, or I go to the shul, there'll be 50 people, but the base medrash is where I learn. So I'm better off davening the base medrash. So there could be a steer between the Gemara's as the holding, but the easier way would be just be that I don't know what to say. Okay.
So does that mean everyone should go to Hashkama?
I'm not going to get me into political dangerous waters here, Fern, but the halacha is the way I've described it. Okay, so it seems like this, that he may have been trying to turn the shul into a base medrash. He was learning there.
Got to see the gym. Well, what is the status? Is it a Beit Knesset? Is it like we do play basketball there? What is the status?
What do you think? This gym has got no status.
Got no status, right? Because you can play ball there.
Zero status, right?
Okay.
What?
you have an established canon there.
Yeah, but if they're changing the usage for the room day and night, so it doesn't have a din of Beit Knesset. In other words, the din of Beit Knesset is dedicated as a shul, and it was not the plain gym there and things like that. Okay, now let's think back on the Gemara.
But doesn't it have a higher status than, say, the gym at Columbia University where no one davens there?
No, I don't think so.
No one wins there, but no one davens.
Yeah, I don't think so, because in other words, it's just the fact that let's say I have an office and I have a minion in my office every day. So does that office get a different level of kedusha? I don't think so. In other words, let me speak and then you'll give your piece, okay? So I don't think the office gets a different din. In other words, if you dedicate it as, you know, as a place as a shul, that's one thing. Okay, what do you want to say, Daniel?
Why not? You have an established younger.
Yeah. How do you say that in Farsi? Anyway. That's my viewpoint. Okay, let me move on. I'll pause two dots. Let's all chill out for a bit. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, we're around the sixth very wide line. Tanya Rav Lazar Kaparamar Omer Atina Batekzina Batemet Shosh Bavel She Kavu Beretz Yisrael. That the shuls and the Batei Medrash and Bavel will be reestablished in Eretz Israel. Shenemar, Kik Tabor Beharim, like Mount Tabor, Mount of the Mountains. And Mount Tabor is a mountain in Eretz Israel. Uki Carmel, and like the Carmel is also another, Har Carmel, you all know. He says, Bayam Yavo, it'll go in the sea. Now, I think that Rabbi Leibowitz, when he was explaining this pasuk, was saying that Nebuchadnezzar would end up like being destroyed or whatever. This is like he would end the sea. But the way the Arsul said Pshuto Shel Mikra is that Paro, who was going to fight with Nebuchadnezzar, would end up in the sea. But the drasha either way is as follows: there was a saying that Tabor and Carmel went to the sea. Those from Kavachomer, Mar Tabor be Carmel Shel Ba'el Lufisha Olamot Torah. There was Tavor and Carmel. They went at Matan Torah. They went to try to, you know, buy, I guess, to be the mountains that the Torah would be received on. Nikbaim Be'eretz Yisrael. They got planted in Eretz Yisrael. But they can easily obtain Eretz Yisrael Korin or Bitzim and Torah. So the shuls where Torah is constantly being learned, Chakam Makama, how much more so they'll be planted in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Darash Bar Kapara, Maidathi Lamat Ratzun Harim, why do you mountains, now this relates to the previous sugya, why do you like dance or gavnunim, lamatrasun harim gavnunim, like majestic mountains, why do you dance? Yes, tabakova amra lahem, lama tirtsu din im sinai. In other words, they understand the pratsun, like to prance, to mean like tirtsu din, not tiratsun, but tirtsu din. Why do you want to make a din, a lawsuit with mounts, with Har Sinai, im sinai, kuchem ba'alei mumim atem. You're all like blemished, in other words, you're all like have a defect. He says, "Eitzel Sinai, Tiv Hacha Gavnunim." Here, first the mountains is Gavnunim, and it's like majestic mountains. But he says, "Tiv Hatam O Gibein O Dak." This is talking about a mumim. So it's different mumim. So Gibein O Dak. I think he said Gibein was like long eyelashes, or Dak with like a cataract. So there's a mumim. So Amar Bashi, Shlomina Haiman Diyahir Balumahu, if a person's arrogant, in other words, those mountains were higher mountains. Har Sinai was a lower mountain. So you think that you have a taina that the Torah should be given on you. But the emes is not this way. You know, in other words, don't make any tainas with Har Sinai. Let me mention this little piece of Torah that I heard from Rav Simon. I think it was from Rav Yitzchak Mibreditchev. So, in Pirkei Avot, we always say that Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai Umisar Al Yoshua. That Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah at Har Sinai and gave it to Yeshua. So why does it say that Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai? It should say Moshe Kibel Torah bis Sinai, right? At Har Sinai, not mi Sinai. So Rav Levi Yitzchak says that, another question is, how come Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem says, I want you to take Klal Yisrael out of Egypt, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shlach Ta'abi at Tishlach. I'm not worthy for this. I'm going to send somebody else. But then, as soon as he says, I want you to accept the Torah, no arguments, I'm taking it. This is the biggest honor. So you just have Moshe Rabbeinu should withdraw. So Reb Levi Yitzchak said that Moshe Kibbel Torah mi Sinai, he learned a lesson from Sinai. In other words, Shem was going to give the Torah to Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the least of the mountains. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he says something, yeah, Taka, this is it, the Torah, the Derech of the Torah is to give it the least of the things. So I'm also the least. Yeah, so I'm not going to argue with that. So that's the way he took it in. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far? Everybody good? Everybody happy? Reb Levi Yitzchak, I heard it from Reb Simon. I think he has it in his sefer, or I saw it in his sefer. But either way, it came from Reb Simon. But the but it's Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev.
By the way, the word "kibben" in Hebrew means a hunchback.
Yeah, so the article here translated. Yeah, I'm not sure. It could be the article here translated. Yeah,
it's not the normal
translation. Yeah, all right. So Daniel says it's a hunchback. Okay, everybody good? All right, let's keep moving. All right, so now the Gemara says we're around 10 lines from the bottom on Chavtet Amad Aleph. So in Osin Otot Kapandarya, so the Mishnah said that Shul, even in yesterday's Dafya, the Mishnah, that Beit Knesset Shecharev, it's a Shul that's already destroyed, but it still has a certain residual Kedusha, and in Osin Otot Kapandarya, you can't make it turn into Kapandarya. It says, so Kapandarya is like a shortcut, like Yosef was saying. So in Osin Otot Kapandarya, my Kapandarya, what's Kapandarya? So Amarava Kapandarya Kishmo. Rabbi says the etymology, you can just look at the word and know what it means. He says, my Kishma, Kimantamar, Adamakifna Adare Eobaha. Like instead of going around this row of houses, Adamakifna, go around Adare, this row of houses, Eobaha, I'll go like in here, like through this entranceway or whatever. So it's like a shortcut. So Kapandarya, Adamakifa Adare. So Amrim Vahu. If there was a pre-existing sort of roadway or pathway where the shul now is, it's permissible. The person entered the shul not with intent to make him shortcut. Then he can make it a shortcut. Means I entered the shul and I just came into daven in the shul. And I entered one entranceway, but now, you know, it's easy for me to exit the other entranceway, so I could do it that way. Now, there are some Rishonim, if you see the Aleph in brackets, it quotes from the Haggadah of Gra, and the Gra says, please just wait 1 minute, chill out, and I'll come to you, okay? So the Gra quote, the Gears of the Rush and the Riff, is mitzvah lasotot kapandarya, not mutar lasotot kapandarya. There's a mitzvah to turn the shul into kapandarya, meaning if I entered from one entrance way, that I should exit from the other entrance way. He says, Shenemar, Voam Aretz Atnei Hashem B'Moadim. This is a vision of Yechezkel. Yechezkel sees the third Beis HaMikdash, in other words, like in Mashiach type. So he says, Voam Aretz Atnei Hashem B'Moadim, when the person comes before Hashem in the Moadim, in the holidays, Habad Derech Shor Tzapon L'Shtachabot, the person who comes from the north gate, Yitzay Derech Shor Negev. And this is Habad Shor Negev, Yitzay Derech Shor Tzapon. So it means, and there's a sefer, Rav Schechter on Tefillah, which I've been using between the Kamarav on Sundays here. So Rav Schechter says that, like in other words, like the shul is like your house. So if I'm not making a shortcut, I'm staying in the house. I'm davening here. I'm also, like, you know, in Yad Ruchniyim. So then yeah, talk. It's better to leave out the other things. It shows it's more like my house. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Rabbi, so what? Which part of the issue is that the less you see is going to be more dear to you? There's an idea that you don't go through the same sha'ar. It's a little bit more novel and you have a little bit more appreciation. And it's
In other words, it's more my bayit. It was my bayit, you know, I'm in my house. I don't always go in and out the same entrance way. I'm the baal in here, you know what I mean? So I'm going to go. I'm going through another exit.
There's also another perush that maybe it's not going to be so common that you're going to see the same door.
Does he say that there?
I mean, you should mention that.
Okay. Right? Okay.
But they said, what? So you want your spouse to be there and you see them less? What's the idea?
You got to ask for a shoot. Okay, now, let's take a look. Now I'm doing a piece from the Al-Hadab. Before it was Daf Digest. Now it's the Al-Hadab. So he quotes the Gemara, and okay, he says the Mishmar maintains that just as one may enter a shul to call his friend, as long as he recites a pasuk, so too he may use a shul as a shortcut, as long as he recites a pasuk in the shul for continuing on his way. In other words, Mishmar has a kula. If I want to call my friend, my friend's in the shul, so I'll go in the shul and recite the pasuk and call him. So Mishmar says you can use that same tool. If I want to use a shortcut, so I'll recite the pasuk. The Or Sameach, based on an inference from the wording of the Rambam, maintains that Rav Nachman or Yitzchak's dispensation applies only if one entered the shul for a sacred purpose. In other words, So Rav Nachman or Yitzchak says, if I entered the shul not for a shortcut, like to daven, I can do another exit. I can do the other exit. So Rav Nachman or Yitzchak's dispensation applies only when I enter the shul for a sacred purpose, such as to pray or study Torah, but not if he entered to call his friend. He says, even if he entered the shul to call his friend in a luckily legitimate manner, are you here? 9 o'clock. In the meantime, you could join us for Dachyomi if you like, or whatever you want to do. What? Well, good. You'll be chazar for you, and you'll help us with it. Okay. All right, you're not staying around. Okay. Okay. Let's talk about Choltov. Okay. All right. So, what there might be if you're looking for Mariv, there might be one at 575, and they don't know. Okay. 9 o'clock. Okay. I'll see you. Bye bye. Okay. Okay. So let me go. Keep moving. So he says, even if he enters the shul to call his friend in a lawfully legitimate matter, i.e., recited pasuk upon entering, the worst man maintains he's still forbidden to exit from the opposite door to shorten his way. So in other words, the Or Sameach disagrees with the fact that I could use it as a shortcut. In other words, I'm going into my friend, I recite the Pasuk, he says I can't use it as a Kapandarya. It emerges from the words of the Or Sameach that he disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah and holds that one may not make a shul into a shortcut by reciting the Pasuk. The Oz Nidru explains there are two types of forbidden activities in a shul. A, those which are disrespectful, and B, those which do not lack respect but are of a non-sacred nature. He explains that entering a shul to call a friend does not show disrespect, but is forbidden because the shul is designated only for sacred use. Such an act, i.e. type B, is permitted if a pasuk is recited, because that imbues the act with the necessary measure of sanctity. However, making a shortcut through a shul is considered disrespectful, because it's something that people avoid even their homes. See Barako, Ma Beito Akampandari Kapi. So the Gemara says that people don't turn their homes into a Akampandari. That's not the way I was saying before. And reciting a pasuk does not permit one to act disrespectfully in a shul. So,
why not? Of course. Use a shortcut, I want to go to the backyard.
Yeah, I think he means, I think, well.
Yeah. Oh, for other people?
I don't know.
I make this house a Sandaria.
All right.
What does it imply, that word?
What? Ruth, I lost you. Ruth? No, Ruth was asking a question. Okay, yeah, Ruth. All right, I got to move on. I don't hear anything from Ruth, but I'm going to move on. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? What's up?
In 1 second, the word Kapandaria, it says what its name implies. What does it imply?
Making a shortcut.
What's the root of that word?
So the Gemara said, Adamakifna Adare. Instead of going around the row of houses, I'll go through here. That's commentary. Okay, look. Right. I have to move on, please. I'm sorry. Let's just move on. Okay. Now, I have to stop all questions for a little bit because it just takes too much time. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, "Aluba wasab." Please, everybody, mute themselves. Ruth, when you speak, you need to mute yourself afterwards. Okay. Now, all right. Now, so the Gemara says, "Aluba wasab bim lo yitlosh from the agbat nefesh." If grass had grown in this destroyed shul, I shouldn't rip it out, because when I see the grass, it causes me to have like sorrow. And then maybe I'll do something to get the shul back. And then Rashi says so people will be mabakish from Hashem that it should be restored. So the Brisa says I can't pull out the grasses and give it to like animals. I'm all totally shumaniyak, but I can pull it out and just leave it there. So kitzan nami manith and totally shumachil tanan. So the Mishnah, when we said that we can't do it, it means to be totally shumachil. Okay, tanan rabbanan bidakfaro, they no gim bakalit rosh. a cemetery, I shouldn't behave with levity there. I shouldn't graze animals there. I shouldn't divert like a water channel through the cemetery. I shouldn't collect grass. If I did collect the grass, I'll burn it in the coma. In other words, people shouldn't be choshesh that I'm taking the grass to feed it to my animals or something like that. So I'll burn it in the coma. That'll come from the meitim. So hey, the last three words, which halacha does it go on? Ilema seifa, there was that I should burn it in the place, quod meitim, came surf from koman, my quod meitim ether. What kabbal of meit does it do when I burn it in the place? El Aresha goes to the first halacha. In other words, ain't no gimba can call it rosh. I shouldn't behave in levity in the beta borrowed because of the quod meitim. And also, I think the more of a mayim in both in the amount of mayim. Okay, I move on to the next mission. Now, manitin. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalav Shabbat. If Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a Shabbos, according to Parshat Shkalim, we learn Parshat Shkalim, which we hold, we'll see it's Machlokes and Gemara, we hold the Pesukim, the beginning of Parshat Kitisa, which talks about the mitzvah of giving a half shekel. Chal Yot B'Tocha Shabbat, if Rosh Chodesh comes out during the week, Makdim L'Shavar. So we're Makdim the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. U'mafsik L'Shabbat Acheret. Then the following Shabbos, it's the Arba Parshiot. So no one of the parshiot the following Shabbos, he says Bishni is Zachor, and then the next one Zachor. In other words, Zachor, which is when we remember the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, we want to do that to Shabbos before Purim because Haman was the son of Amalek. Bishlishit Paraduma, the third Shabbos, we read about the Paraduma, the red heifer, which was also done originally in Nisan, but we would also personally have to retire themselves before Pesach. Revi'at Achodesh Zelachem, the fourth Shabbos is Parshat Achodesh. Rashi here emphasizes Achodesh Zelachem, Shisham Parshat HaPesach. Rashi says the key is that the Korban Pesach is mentioned there, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to emphasize more the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, that they were Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, let's just take a look. Now he says, B'chamishit Chosrin L'chesidran. So in the fifth Shabbos, they go back Kisidran, you could say, to the regular Haftarot. He says, L'kol Mafsikin. Now, L'kol Mafsikin could mean that for Ul Yom Tovim, we stop the weekly Parsha, or it could mean L'kol Mafsikin for any holiday, we interrupt the regular Haftarot. He says, B'rashaych HaRashim B'chanak V'Purim B'taniyot V'Mavadot V'Yom Kippurim, meaning on Rosh Chodesh, if it's during the week, and if it's on a Monday or Thursday, I'm not going to read the Parsha of Shavua, I'm going to read Rosh Chodesh. Chanak and Purim the same way. On Monday, Thursday, I'm doing Purim, I'm doing Chanukah, okay? B'taniyot v'mamadot, if it's a fast day, on one of those days, the mamadot, the people who would be davening, you know, that the korbanot should be accepted in fasting, they have their own kriyas Torah. Yom Kippurim means on Shabbos Mincha, on Yom Kippur. So if it would be any other day of the week, even if it's a yantiv, so Shabbos Mincha, I would read the Parsha of Shavua. But Shabbos Mincha on Yom Kippur, I don't read the Parsha of Shavua. I have a special kriya, which talks about the Arayot. Okay, now, look quickly, I'm running out of time, but if you look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah, he says, "Korin Parshat Shkalim, Lo Diyash Yavir Shekleyin Ba'Adar, Dishakriva B'Chabinisan, Bitru B'Chadash Kamin B'Gbarim." In other words, the Kriya was a notification that people should bring the Matzah to Shekel. In other words, they didn't have internet, they didn't have TV advertising, they didn't have newspapers. So they were laying every one of the shuls, Parshat Shkalim, and that's a reminder. I come into shul, I hear it, and where the person would hear that, and they would know that that's the time to give the Matzah to Shekel. Now, Lavush understands it differently. Lavush seems to say that it arose after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and it's a din of neshama for misvateinu, that by reading this, now we'll fulfill our obligation to give the Matzah to Shekel. It's a different understanding of it. Now, please, now within the Shita of Lavush, so then there's a Chakira, and then Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank mentions this as well, so then it might be that I need a Bar Chiyuva to do the laying on Parshat Shkalim. So if I need a Bar Chiyuva, so according to somebody shown him, only people who are above 20 would be chayiv in Parshat Shkalim. So if you go with that mahalach, please, if you go with that mahalach, so then you would require somebody who's 20 in order to do laning for Parshat Shkalim. That would be the way it would come out. Okay, now it doesn't work out so well with the Gemara, but I got to run. Okay, now the bottom line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanana time, we learned the Mishnah of Sechet Shkalim, Bechad Ba'Adar Mashmin al Shkalim. We had this in Tafiyomi on Rosh Chodesh Adar. They notify that now it's time to bring the Shkalim, the Masa Shekel, the Alha Kilayim, top line on Chatan Beis. Kilayim, that, you know, to clear away the Kilayim's rhyme. If different seeds from different, you know, growths have been growing in the fields, you know, different like beans and wheat, things like that, and grapes. So I have to uproot it because I can't have Kilei Zrayim. So B'shleim al Kilayim is Manzrihi. So I know Kilayim, that's the time when things are planted and growing, so it makes sense. El al Shkalim and Alam, where we know why are we being Machri is about Shkalim on Rosh Chodesh Adar. So I'm a Rebbe Tavi, I'm Rebbe Yoshi, Adam Akra, Zodah Chodesh Bechotcho. So it says in the Psukim, which we laid on Rosh Chodesh, Zodah Olat Chodesh Bechotcho, L'Chodeshei Ashanah. It mentions Chodesh three times, one right after the other. So why is it mentioned so many times? Amra Torah, Chadesh Vavei Korban Mitruma Chadasha. The Torah is telling us that there's a point in time where you have to use new money, the Korban Ot Sibur, for the communal sacrifices. And then Rashi brings down, there's also Gzeirah Shavah, which the word doesn't spell out here, but it has Masechta Rosh Hashanah. They learn Shana Shana. It says Zodah Chodesh Bechodesho L'Chodeshei Ashanah. So Shana Shana teaches me that the new month that you have to have the new money in is for Nisan. So the cave into the Nisan by Yikruve Mitruma Chadasha. So since on Nisan I have to begin using the new money Kadmina Bekarina Bechad Ba'Adar. So we lain on beginning on Rosh Chodesh Adar or nearby Geichad Leitu Shkalim the Mikdash. So the people will bring the Shkalim the Maksir Shekhet to the Mikdash. So the Gemara says, come on, according to whom does that go? He says, the Lok, Ramashim Gamliel, must be that this Shita, that everything we get going on Rosh Chodesh Adar for Nisan does not follow the Tana Ramashim Gamliel. The Ramashim Gamliel, Ha'amar Shtei Shabbatot. Rosh Chodesh says, I only need 2 weeks preparation. Because here it's coming out 30 days preparation. Chodesh says, I only need 2 weeks preparation. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, this we had also in Daf Yomi. That we begin, you know, asking and studying the halacha of Pesach 30 days before Pesach, which would be on Purim. We begin, you know, preparation for Pesach 30 days. Shlomo says only 2 weeks. So just like Shlomo holds that only 2 weeks preparation for Pesach, so too we presumably hold that only 2 weeks for the mitzvah of Maaseh Shekel. So our pilu tei Shlomo. The Gemara says you could say that our Mishnah is, you know, in conformity with Rosh Gamliel, came into Amar Mar, B'chamishasar bo, Shulchanot Yoshvim B'medina. Since we have the statement that on the 15th of Adar, the money changers would already set up shop, in other words, to change money so people give the master the shekel. U'v'chafei Yoshvim B'mikdash, on the 25th of Adar, they would sit in the base of Mikdash. Mishum Shulchanot, Kamim V'karinan. So because, in other words, the Shulchanot are going to be setting up shop in 2 weeks, so we do 2 weeks earlier on Rosh Chodesh Adar, so it is, works out well with Rosh Gamliel. Okay, so now the first wide line on Chavten of Days. My Parshat Shkalim. What is Parshat Shkalim? So Rav Amar, Sav B'nei Sov Amar, Talihem Ekorbani Lachmi. So Rav says Parshat Shkalim is not the way we think of it as the Pesukim beginning Parshat Kitisa. It's the Pesukim that we lay in on Rosh Chodesh. In other words, the Rosh Chodesh laying. Ushmul Amar Kitisa. Shmuel says Kitisa. So B'shleil Amad Amar Kitisa. So according to the opinion, i.e. Shmuel, holds that we link Kitisa, I knew the Kari La Parshat Shkalim, the Tzibah Shkalim. So I understand why it's called Parshat Shkalim. But again, Rav and Shmuel are Marayim. And Mishnah says, refers to the first of the Arba Parshat is Parshat Shkalim. So if I'm laning about Shkalim, so then it makes sense. I call it Parshat Shkalim. In other words, that's what Kitisa has. It says, you know, everybody Machsid Shekel. Everybody should give the Machsid Shekel. He says, El Laman Damar Korban Ilach Mi. But according to Rav, who says that it's right, the Kriya for Rosh Chodesh, and what's the Bach here? He says, The Korban Elchemi, Midishkalim Ktivatam. So he takes out the word Hacha. He says, Midishkalim Ktivatam. Does it say anything about Shkalim in the Parsha Rosh Chodesh? So Gemara says, absolutely. Tama Mike, the Rabbi Tavi. We learned already that Rabbi Tavi taught us that from Zodah L'Chodesh B'Chodesho L'Chodeshei Ashanah is where we learn the Badafka that we have to bring the Maaseh Shekel. So that we've been able, that question we've been able to, you know, to refute. Okay, now the Gemara says, Vishleim Lamad Gemara and Sav Ben Israel, Mishim Dechtivi Korbanot Hatam, Rabbi Tavi. So now the Gemara goes the other side. According to Rav, science and the whole Shtikl Torah, Rabbi Tavi, that Sukkim teach me there's an obligation to give the Maaseh Shekel, you know, beginning in, or to have it based mentioned beginning in Nisan, so I understand why I have that laning. Elamandamar Kitisa, he says, but according to the opinion of Yishmuel that you lay in Parshat Kitisa, Korbanot Miktivi, Shkalim La'adanim Ktivi. He says, but where does it mention in Parshat Shkalim the obligation to give a Machzor Shekel for the Korbanot Tzibur? it gives us an obligation to give the machzor shekel for the adanim, for the adanim of the sockets, for the beams in the Mishkan. So it means that it says that you'll give it l'chaper l'shotecha l'fnei Hashem. It says, Rashi brings it down. He says, it says you'll give it for avodat Olam Moed, for the work of the Olam Moed, for the Mishkan. And then the Torah also mentions, it says, in Parshas Pekudei, it says, that they use the Adanim to create the sockets. So that I see. So where does it mention Machzor Shekel for the Korban Tzibur? So the Gemara says, Kidatani Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef taught in a Braisa, Shlosh Trumot Hain. There were three fundraisers it mentioned in the beginning of in Kitisa. Shamazbeach, Lamazbeach. In other words, three times it says, you give Trumat Hashem. Mentions Trumat Hashem, like the contribution for Hashem. So this is one is from Mizbeach, for the altar, like the Korban on Tzibur. Shal Adanim La Adanim. And then for the Adanim, for the, so those are both Machzor Shekel. Then the upkeep of the base of Mikdash means the general contributions, you know, to build the Mishkan, anybody can give as much as you want. So I have a Machzor Shekel for the Adonai, Machzor Shekel for Korban HaTzibur, Bet HaKabai, you give whatever you want. So that's covered. So B'Shleim L'man D'Amar, Kitisa, so now, according to the opinion, which is Shmuel, that I lay in Parshas Kitisa, Hainu D'Shani Hai Rosh Chodesh, Misha'ar Rosh Chodeshim. Let's say every Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so I have the Parsha Shavuot, I have Lening for Rosh Chodesh. So now, let's say it's Rosh Chodesh Adar that falls on a Shabbos. So according to Shmuel, obviously there's a difference now. It's Parsha Shkalim because they have a different Lening. It was a Lening for Rosh Chodesh, but a Lening Parsha Kedisa. It was something different, the Shabbos, right? And Rosh Chodesh, right? Three Sefer Torah. Okay, so it's different. He says, Elamad Demar and Tzavik Korbani, but according to the opinion that I'm laning for Rosh Chodesh anyway, how is this Rosh Chodesh different than any other Rosh Chodesh? It says like Manashtanaha Rosh Chodesh let me call it Rosh Chodeshim. So the Gemara says Shani, the Ila Rosh Chodeshim Karushita Binyam Dioma Vachad Bid Rosh Chodesh. On a regular Rosh Chodesh, you'd have six aliyahs in the Parsha Shavuah and the seventh in Rosh Chodesh. This is going, please don't look, this is going towards the opinion that Maftir Ola Laminyan Shiva, that a Maftir can count as one of the seven Kruim. So we Paskin Maftir ain't Ola Laminyan Shiva. But this is according to that opinion, that would be the way that we do it. The Ilu Ha'idna, but now on Parshas, according to this opinion, on Parshas Shkalim, Ilu Ha'idna, Kulu with Rosh Chodesh. Everything would be on Rosh Chodesh, meaning all seven Aliyahs would be in the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh. So all seven aliyahs, you'd have to repeat psukim, but you'd be able to fit seven aliyahs in there. That's the way that the Turi Evan learns. Now, Anichalman da Amar, the Seder Parshiot Hu Choser. Now, this is my machloket in tomorrow's daf, when it says that that with Mishnah we said Choser in the Chesidron, that we go back the Chesidron. So according to the opinion that holds the Seder Parshiot Hu Choser, I'm going to go back to the weekly portion, so that's fine. So in other words, so I broke for Parsha Shkalim. I laid seven aliyahs in Shkalim. Now I'm going back to the weekly Parsha. Elamandamar the Seder Haftarot who goes there, he says, Uparsha Dioma Karinan. So according to the one who says that I'm going to go back to the regular Haftorah and Parsha Dioma Karinan, my Shani. In other words, here I have a Shabbos where I'm leaning for Rosh Chodesh. So the Haftorah presumably will relate to Rosh Chodesh. So what is it to go back to? How have I deviated from what I would normally do? In other words, now I'm doing something different. I'm going back to my regular routine. So Shani, Yil Rosh Chodeshim Karushita Binyan Dioma B'chad Kari with Rosh Chodesh. So the Shina would be that a Rosh Chodesh, normally you have six aliyahs in the Parsha Shavuah, and one in Rosh Chodesh. V'ilu ha'idna ka'utlata binyan dioma yorba karu b'Rosh Chodesh. He wants to say three in the Parsha Shavua and four in Rosh Chodesh, four laying in Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Meifei, so we're around the 20th wide line on Pachanu days, okay? So Meifei, we ask Kasha from the following Braisa. It says, Rosh Chodesh Adar shekaliyot b'Shabbat. If Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a Shabbos, korin b'Parsha Shkalim, we lay in Parsha Shkalim, the Haftorah is with the Oyada Kohen, like Ben Sheva Shanim Yawash Malacho. He says, Bishleim Lamad Amar Kitisa, Hayim Zbaftir Bi Oyada Kohen, the Damile, the Thief Kesef Nafshod Yerko. So if you hold that it's Parshas Kitisa, so the Haftorah will be similar to the Maftir, and it is similar. The Maftir talks about giving Shkalim, and the Haftorah also talks about Kesef Nafshod Yerko. So Kesef Nafshod Yerko, one way to understand it is talking about the Master Shekel. He says, Elaman Damar Korbani Lachmi, but if you say that the laning is a Korbani Lachmi, he says, Mi Dami, so how is that Haftorah similar to the laning? So Dami to Rabbi Tavi. No, it would be similar if you take the Shtikl Torah from Rabbi Tavi. So that's where we learn the chiyuv to give maaser to shekel. So it matches up. Okay, meife chaliyo for parsha hasmuchala. If the laning for parsha shkalim was the parsha smuchala, in other words, parsha shkalim is coming out with the weekly parsha. Either it's going to be like tetzave or kitisa. Chaliyo for parsha smuchala beimil fanel beimil achareha kornotav akoflanotav. So I'm going to read it and repeat it, meaning I'll lane Parshat Shkalim one Shabbos, and then I'll repeat it the next Shabbos. In other words, I'll lane Parshat Shkalim next Shabbos, I'm going to lane Kitisa. Or I'll lane Kitisa will be the Shabbos before Parshat Shkalim, and then the next week I'll lane again. He says, B'shleim l'man d'mar Kitisa, ha'na d'mitra'am e'be u'zimna. So according to the opinion, it says that Kitisa, that could occur, that happens at that time of the year. L'man d'mar tzavid korbani, mi'mitra'am e'be u'zimna. But if you say, like Rav says, it's like the Parsha Rosh Chodesh. How could the Tana ever refer to that? How does it ever happen that I would be laying? That's in Parsha Pinchas. So in, the Gemara says, no, it could occur. The B'nai Ma'arava, the Maskid right to Klatch Din. The people in Eretz Israel, who have a 3-year laning cycle, sometimes Parsha Shkalim could come out around Parsha Pinchas. So the Gemara says, Tani Kibat to Shmuel, we learn a Bryce that supports Shmuel. It says, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shcholit B'Shabbat. If Rosh Chodesh Adar coincides with Shabbos, Korin Kitisa, Maftir Yehoyada Kohen. Zep Raisa is on all fours with Shmuel. He says it's Kitisa and Yelim Yehoyada. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shcholit B'Shabbat, Motzin Shlosh Torot. So Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha says Rosh Chodesh Adar coincides with Shabbos. We take out 3 Sifrei Torah, the Korin Behen, a Chabin Yano Shal Yom, one in the Parsha of Shavua, the Chabin Shal Rosh Chodesh, one Sefer Bin Rosh Chodesh, the Chabin Kitisa, which is the way we do Alach Lamaisa. We have all 3. We actually will lane 6 aliyahs in the Parsha Shavua, 7th will be Rosh Chodesh, and the Maftir will be Kitisa. But I'm going to be Sechad Nafcha, Rosh Chodesh Tevet Shkali B'Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh Tevet means Shabbos Chanukah is on a Shabbos, that is Rosh Chodesh on a Shabbos. We in Shlosh Torot, again, we have 3 Torahs. The Korin Behen Echabin and Oshel Yom, one with the Parsha Shavua, which is really Miketz, the Chabin Rosh Chodesh, one Rosh Chodesh, the Chabin Chanukah, one in Chanukah. So it's 2 similar halachot, one with Rosh Chodesh Adar, one with Rosh Chodesh Tevet. Usrika was necessary for Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha to teach me both halachot. The Yitmar Bahav, he only taught me Rosh Chodesh Tevet, Bahakam Rabbi Yitzchak, Abahak to Rab Svirulei, Damar Parshat Shkalim and Korbani Lachmi, Ushtei Torah Tzaki. So if he only taught me the one by Tevet, I would see by Shkalim, maybe he holds that the laning is not Kitisa. The laning is a korbani lachmi, and then I only need 2 Torahs, which is where we're at already. Anyway, so kamash malan, blame ahav lo bayah. So why doesn't he teach me just about Rosh Chodesh Adar, and they don't need the one for Chanukah? Tadam chalach haver to Idmar means he never really said both. He said one halacha. He said indeed said the halacha by Adar, and the Talmidim extrapolated the second halacha, but he only said one. Okay, Idmar Rosh Chodesh Tevet shechalu b'chol. If Rosh Chodesh Tevet comes out during the week, then it should be Am Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha. So Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha says you have 4 aliyahs. So 3 of the aliyahs will be in Rosh Chodesh, and 1 will be in Chanukah, which is the way we do it. Rav Dimi says no. 3 aliyahs will be in Chanukah, and in Bechad Rosh Chodesh, 1 aliyah in Rosh Chodesh. Which one do you give primacy to, Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah? So the one with the 3 aliyahs is the one you're giving primacy to. So the first one holds Rosh Chodesh, his privacy, the other says Chanukah has. Amramani, Kabati Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha Bistaba. The first way makes sense. The Tadir, Rishon Tadir, Tadir Kodem. As between Rosh Chodesh and the Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh is much more Tadir than Chanukah. And Mela, therefore, I should give priority to Rosh Chodesh. Amram Avim, Kabati Rabdimi Bistaba. Avim says, no, it's more like Rabbi Avin that I should give primacy to Chanukah. Miga Ram Ravi Shiabo Rosh Chodesh. In other words, normally I lay in three aliyahs anyway. And during Chanukah, each day I lay in three aliyahs. So now it's Rosh Chodesh, I have a fourth aliyah. So what's causing the fourth aliyah? Rosh Chodesh. This is Hilchah Ravi, Rosh Chodesh by Mikri. So it makes sense. And it was, I'm on a flow. Each day I keep laying three layers in Rosh Chodesh. Now it's Rosh Chodesh. Now I need four layers. So let me continue with the three, and then the fourth will be Rosh Chodesh. So my Havala, what's the conclusion with that? So if Yosef Amar, Ei Mashkichim Rosh Chodesh. So if Yosef says, we're not going to focus on Rosh Chodesh. Rabba Amar, Ei Mashkichim B'Chanukah. We're not going to focus on Chanukah. The Hilchata, Ei Mashkichim B'Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh Ikar. So we're going to focus on Rosh Chodesh, three leaves in Rosh Chodesh and one in Chanukah. Okay, let me just end this. I'm sorry, we're running out of time. But nice having everybody. I'm sorry I had to rush at the end. It was just, we spent all the time talking to people in the beginning. We ran out of time. All right.